welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. Glad you could join us. And as always, at 8:25, John Borton from the Wolverine magazine is our guest. And John, I guess the story continues about the tunnel issue, and I know we want to spend a little bit of time on it, but not the whole program here. But eight players from Michigan State have already been suspended. Have you heard anything more to add to the story?
No, not really. I mean, that's been the latest that's come out, but it's a story that is going to be affecting both of these schools for some time. It's a national story. Certainly Michigan State's lineup is dramatically affected going forward until this is resolved, and that might not be anytime soon as investigations are ongoing. Their season is spiraling down anyway. This will just exacerbate that situation, in my opinion. For Michigan, you know, they want to look forward to Rutgers and the home stretch in November, coming down to that inevitable showdown with Ohio State. Well, they're doing it with one cornerback, Jamon Green, starting cornerback, who is obviously not in the best place. He's been in concussion protocol. He has seen a situation where he was involved in basically a mob assault, and so you wonder where he's going to be. I would say one guy to keep a close watch on come Saturday would be Will Johnson, the freshman defensive back out of Detroit, because I think you may see much more of him. I think that this is just a really a shameful part of the Michigan State history at this point. And we'll wait to see how it all plays out. But it was very clear from the tape that this was something that would never be warranted, even if it involved some kind of taunting or some kind of, and we don't know any of that. Guys have gone up that tunnel for years and years and not had anything close to what happened on Saturday play out.
Well, one of the things that we have not seen is anything from the Big Ten. They have been silent on this issue, have not issued any statements whatsoever that I'm aware of. What's your take on the Big Ten and what their position is going to be?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you have the conspiracy theorists who say that Michigan State's going to get off lighter because the Big Ten commissioner happens to have a son playing on the Michigan State football team. I think that puts you even in a brighter spotlight to do something. I am surprised that you are in a situation where the Big Ten hasn't issued any kind of statement yet. But I guess the charitable view of that is they want to make sure that they investigate thoroughly and get this right before and see what the schools do. It certainly Michigan State's penalty has changed even from Sunday night when the first four players were suspended to Tuesday when four more got suspended. I think the Big Ten will want to see the determination of the school itself, the final one, before it does anything too broad or overreaching.
Morning, John. It's Andrew Morton here. And, you know, you talked about that conspiracy, you know, with the, obviously, player being on Michigan State's team. I mean, you look only the last year basketball season. I believe it was last year. Been a long 2 years. But when Juwan Howard got suspended for, slapping the other coach in the head. And that was, obviously, he slapped him, you know, punched him, or a very mild situation compared to what this is. And it seemed like the Big Ten came out with a statement very fast in that situation compared to this situation.
Yeah, I suppose you're right on that, but this is I think this situation is a little more complex in that one, they had a very high-profile Big Ten coach, and I would call it a face wash. He reached over a couple other people and basically, you know, swiped at him. But it certainly, like you said, it wasn't anything even comparable in any way to what took place on Saturday. The Big Ten not only made the statement, but there were swift action in this, and I believe it was five games that Juwan Howard was out.
Yep.
You know, I think for the time being, you've got eight players that were clearly involved on indefinite suspension while the investigation takes place. You know, and I'm willing to see how this plays out, but I don't, you know, though anyone bringing up Juwan Howard and saying that, you know, somehow that was comparable to this situation is just, you know, they're playing defense attorney for Michigan State.
Well, times when we have seen recruiting violation, we've seen penalties like vacating victories, no bowl games for so many years. Do you think this situation warrants anything like this?
Well, I think that there should be, you know, you talk about lack of institutional control. We hear that in recruiting about NCAA rulings, and I think there's a lack of institutional control here to some degree when you have that sort of thing that flares up, and you have a head coach that was at least on the periphery of it and came up that tunnel and was obviously upset when he came through, and then, you know, gets into the post game press conference and basically says he didn't know anything about it. And you have a director of football operations who is quite officious before the game and ordering everybody out of the way, and then when the fight goes down, he's right next to it, goes running out of there like he's scared to death, instead of saying one word of opposition to what's taking place. Yeah, I think that there should be some penalty beyond the nominal suspensions that they had to do. There was no choice here. What that is, what form that takes, I will leave it to the powers that be and you know, cast judgment on it later. But, you know, you mentioned additional punishment. Yes, I think it's appropriate in this situation.
All right, let's talk about football now as far as the Wolverines are concerned, taking on Rutgers this coming Saturday. And oddly enough, John, a 7:30 contest for a game with Rutgers, is that, it doesn't seem like we should be doing a 7:30 ball game.
Not in November, not in Michigan Rutgers, but I'm sure that the home team wanted something to whip things up a little bit or draw more of a crowd, whatever it might be. I'm not the biggest fan of night games, period, as you know, but I think that's an element to it, and certainly in this situation, Fox has absolutely dominated Michigan games with the big noon kind of stuff. This is the Big Ten network crack at having a Michigan game. So I think that certainly they will be happy about it, and Michigan just has to make the best of it.
So obviously the game coming up this weekend, Rutgers, not a great team, but I think the real thing going into this weekend, 2 days ago, the college football playoff ranking came out and Michigan fell at 5. I would say a lot of people confused and a little upset with it, with Clemson jumping over them. What's your kind of take or feel about that situation?
Yeah, I think that that first playoff poll or playoff ranking is it upset some people, but my take is there's so much to play out before it becomes reality, before it becomes, okay, these are the teams that are locked into the playoffs, then I'm really not I'm not that concerned about it, because you have got those top four teams playing a number of very, very big games. You've got Michigan playing some substantial opponents down the stretch. Illinois has had a good year. And then certainly, you know, if you really want to make the playoff and leave no doubt, if you want to win the Big Ten, you want to get to Indianapolis, you beat the Buckeyes on their own field. So I recognize that a number of people got worked up over that and said, well, you know, that was undeserved, or take the approach that Michigan should have played a better non-conference schedule, all that. Yeah, I'm in the camp that let's just wait and see. Because we know that in the final month of the season, a lot of crazy things happen.
And I think a lot of people, there's the group obviously that was kind of upset, but then there's the group that kind of expected, you know, Michigan was falling at five. And just because, you know, last year, same situation happened, fell at, you know, I think we had lost to Michigan State. And we were at like six or seven at that point, or maybe five when it first came out. But I think it was kind of expected from people at this point in time that we would fall at five.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was shocked. And to be honest with you, there are enough good teams in the nation that will be contending. It is a long shot. I predicted early before the season that Michigan could go undefeated going into Columbus. I expected it, and even with a close loss in Columbus, still potentially make the college football playoff. That remains to be seen. I think it's a little more in doubt given some of the rise of some other schools like Tennessee, which is in that number one spot right now. But it's still a possibility. Bottom line, really, though, is, hey, if you're Michigan, if you want to get to Indianapolis, if you want to get to the college football playoff, you go about this as we can't lose a football game, including the one down in Columbus.
Well, the Michigan running game has been very, very good this year. The duo of Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, are they going to have a field day here with Rutgers?
I think they are. I think there's no reason to stop that train, and nobody has been able to so far. I mean, certainly Penn State thought it would, and it got run over, and Michigan State likewise. That is an offensive line that is beating people up right now. You sub in one player for another, you have an injury, and the Carson Barnhart steps up at right tackle and has been doing a magnificent job. Certainly, Oluwatimi there at center has gotten a chance to fully get ingrained into the Michigan culture and with his teammates up front. They're playing so well, and Blake Corum is running incredibly well. I think this is going to be another maybe 250-yard night on the ground.
Well, that would be nice to see. And also, what can we see from Rutgers? I know you've got a scouting report on them. What is their strengths and their weaknesses?
Well, I think that they've done a decent job in some close games early on this year. They've played a number of quarterbacks. Evan Simon is your lead guy. He's at 58% completions, not great. Four touchdowns and six interceptions so far. I would say the Samuel Brown at running back, he's their lead guy, was 374 yards. Greg Schiano's teams usually are feisty and play some decent defense, and that led to some success early on this year. They only lost to early to Iowa once the Big Ten started, but they hung in there in that one, only lost by 17. I think that, honestly, this is a game that Michigan simply should control. They don't have, Rutgers doesn't have enough weapons. to handle Michigan. They lost, you know, they had beaten Indiana in Piscataway by a touchdown and only lost to by a point to Nebraska the week before, but then they go out to Minnesota and absolutely get whitewashed 31-0 last week. They play better at home. I will give them that, but not nearly better enough to handle a Michigan team with, as Jim Harbaugh likes to say, bigger fish to fry.
And finally, we have a little bit of time left. Michigan basketball starts up tomorrow, I believe, with the exhibition match against Fair State. Anything to expect coming out of that game? Any news coming from Michigan starting the season here soon?
I was interested to see that, you know, the head coach for Michigan deals very fairly with his team, and some felt like one of his sons, Jace Howard, maybe didn't play even as much in the first couple of years as he might have had he not been Juwan Howard's son. That's how even-handed that Juwan has been. But in recent days, you know, he said that that he is going to lean on the freshman coming into the Michigan program, Jet Howard, this year. And I found that to be very interesting from the standpoint of this kid has really been impressing. And his teammates see it, and he's at a position of need out there on the wing. I want to watch closely one Jet Howard and to see how all these new parts integrate with in and around Hunter Dickinson, who obviously drives this crew.
Well, John, we are out of time here on Inside the Cave. We want to tell folks how they can get copies of that Wolverine magazine, either the physical copy or online.
Well, we come out with the hard copy, the magazine every month, and you can get hooked up to get those each month by calling 800-421-7751. And make sure you check us out on the On3 network, on3.com, and it's the Wolverine site under that. We were cranking out copy every single day, every single minute, basically, on that. So something to follow.
I enjoy watching you and Tom Crawford on your live podcast. That's on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, right?
It is. We do a YouTube live podcast, and then it's posted on the Wolverine site on 3. And Tom was more than a little East Lansing resident, but Michigan grad. Tom Crawford was more than a little worked up on this last one.
It was fun to listen to. John, thank you very much for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
All right. John Borton from the Wolverine magazine, our guest here on Inside the Cave.